Welcome to Radio Mojo Plus, brought to you by Pyology Pizzeria and by Southern Glaciers Wines and Spirits, proud supporters of the food and beverage industry in Hawaii.
Good morning and welcome to Radio Mojo Plus. I'm Joe McGarry, plus Bobby Curran, here to bring you the best of eating, drinking, and living in Hawaii, plus a lot of sports this morning. Oh my gosh, it's so exciting. You can sort of feel the excitement in the air. It's palpable, even though people aren't in the stands and screaming and yelling. You can tell that there's a lot of excitement around. Bobby, we might as well just start right there. I mean, we do have like a really fun show this morning that's very meat-centric. So if you're a meat guy, you want to stay very
or a gal,
you want to stay very close to your radio for the next 45 minutes or so, because we've got two of the best possible people to talk about
meat.
Farming meat, cooking meat, aging meat, selling meat, everything. So stay with us for that.
Hopefully a little eating meat would be good.
Yeah, no, I'm excited today because it is very meat-centric, but what's wrong with that, right?
No.
So there must be some holiday coming up like Father's Day that we think of as very meat-centric.
That's a meat-centric holiday. I would agree with you on that.
Of course, Mother's Day is in between. But actually, I am a very grill, you know, sort of fan. You have to admit, I'm like kind of fascinated with grilling, and I really do love doing it. So, you know, it's no longer the bastion of the male.
No. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so sports, very, very exciting. And I just heard you say that you just have such a good feeling about national championships, and you would never say that.
I used to always think, I have this in my nature. I worry about things going wrong. I'm a worrier.
No.
I worry about things going
wrong.
Yes. Not telling you that.
Really?
Right.
I think you're exaggerating a bit there.
Come on. You're being funny.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, I just have a good – this team has embraced that, get better – and teams give lip service to this all the time. Mm-hmm. We're going to get better every day.
When you hear the coaches saying,
yes.
Oh, just take it game by game, Bobby.
This team lives it, though. They live getting better every day. And I think not only collectively but individually, they've sort of embraced that. And so Charlie has this simple thing that he always says. Like, he's pretty simple, and I think he's become, as he's gotten older – and been doing this more years, he's become more blunt.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
straightforward.
So, yeah, so one of his things, let me make sure I get this right. He goes, if you want to play, play better. And if you want to play better, work harder. I mean, it's to him, it's that simple.
Well, it makes lots of sense, actually.
Well, it does. But, I mean, some people say, oh, that's harsh. But it's, you know, unfortunately, it's the reality. And this team seems to do that.
So, it must be so fun for them, too, to be in an environment. Like, I'm a firm believer in if you put people in an environment of excellence, they act up, right? So you put kids into a great classroom environment, they act up. You put people into...
You mean play up, kind of, really?
Play up.
Well, act up.
I don't mean act up as in misbehave. I mean play up.
Just want to let people know that. Yes.
Yeah, no, step up, get better, reach for to try and be amongst the best people. And I think sometimes, you know, there's such a sort of mundaneness about people. And it's even like if you take that very basic phrase, practice makes perfect. People say that all the time, but it's really true. Practice does make perfect. Whether you're trying to do, you know, homemade lasagna noodles or, you know, improve your basketball game or your volleyball game, it's just a very simple truth. And those people now who... There's a couple of great books out about that I know you're a fan of, about get your 10,000 hours in.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all true. We live in such an age of instant gratification and people who want things immediately, and we can almost get them immediately thanks to Amazon. But don't you think it's like there's sort of like very old-fashioned truisms. If you want to do something, just put the hours in.
I think a lot of people in this generation, not just the generation, but I think in these times, because there's been such access to, say, social media, I think people think, oh, I can skip.
Yes, I can do that.
I can skip the steps. I'll just go right into being an expert. I'm just going to jump in. And I always find that is short-lived, because there's almost always an element of exposure, because it's the rarest thing for someone to be able to jump up and be excellent without any practice. And many times people who try that get exposed.
Do you see that in sports?
Yes.
You do, yeah.
I'm sorry, sports casting especially.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think
or you
so.
See, you can, you've seen it. I mean, there's a lot of it. It doesn't, at the high levels, people are very, very good. But at the lower levels, you can listen to local, when I travel, I have the local sports talk on, and there's some, there's a lot of the people that are trying to skip steps.
Yeah, and I think so, too, in the restaurant industry, you see it with chefs a lot. And I think the culinary industry was the first place I noticed that, where people, because if you think of that first generation who started watching YouTube, they're all grown up now, but that was the first group of people who saw celebrity, stardom, and saw people on television who weren't, you know, just Julia Child or even Emeril, because Emeril was sort of the tail end of that, you know, TV star, but not quite Instagram, YouTubeable. I think that's not really a word, but it's quite good, isn't it? YouTubeable.
Yeah, I like that.
And I think that was what started people thinking, oh, I can do that. I'm just going to be like a chef.
On TV? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to be on TV because I'm going to be a chef. It's like, put in 2 or 3 decades of really hard work at a very specific level, and then you will be like the people you're watching on TV.
And some of you won't ever, no matter how many times you do it, you won't have the TV presence because not everybody has it.
Right.
Even if you're great, it's another deal. I mean, you want to end up being David Rosengarten, or do you want to be somebody really good?
I know you're not the biggest fan.
Oh, my God, he's a poser.
You're quite right. And it's just very interesting to me that there's such a similarity between, you know, I mean, obviously we talk about sports and food together, but there's almost everything you say about sports, it relates to the culinary industry.
I get it.
Athletes to chefs and, you know, behind the scenes, you know, back of house workers to, you know, managers and team players. And there's really a remarkable, you know, connection.
That Chef's Table, you have a series on Netflix that I've been watching with you and enjoying it tremendously. It's amazing the journey so many of these chefs, sometimes they just took any job to get in the kitchen because they wanted to learn from, and they put in, you know, anonymously thousands of hours before they got to take the chance and be an executive chef or a sous chef, and then finally to get their own shot. I mean, it's just, it doesn't happen over, these things don't happen overnight, and in sports either.
In sports, right. So every chef that's on Netflix's Chef's Table, and I would say if you haven't caught that show yet, Chef's Table, it's so worth a dip into, because the level of passion and excellence that are highlighted in the episodes that are also beautifully directed and filmed and
they
produced
are.
Really high quality. But the level of excellence there and passion to me is like when you're watching one of the ESPN really well done, like 30 for 30s or, you know, the documentaries that they do that get behind the scenes of local athletes. And it's the same story. It's people who really have a passion, who almost sacrifice everything else, their health, you know, family life. I mean, give up all kinds of things to get to that ultimate goal. And it never is an easy journey.
No, and there's a lot of setbacks along the way for many of these folks. But I think the ones who it's driven them. It's almost like there's no choice. They have to do this.
Who's your favorite? Like, I never ask you these kind of questions, like what's your favorite color? But who, when you think back of all of the sports people that you know, have been aware of and ones that you've got to know personally, who stands out for you as just a memorable athlete or a person in sports? I mean, who, you know, it could be somebody here or just somebody nationally. Is there someone that you just think embodies everything that's good?
Well, I just spoke to one, because I would put in Colton Cowell would be in my top 5 or 6 all time.
That's awesome.
Well, you remember he was on a Zoom. It was not related to this specifically. It was general, and he was terrific. And the more I've gotten to know, you know, talk to Charlie and other people in athletics who know him, I mean, the guy is really an impressive young person. Really, really. He'd be very high up there.
Well, that's very
But there's been a couple. Cy Tamala was a basketball player here. He transferred from Arizona State. He was an okay player. He was a role player. Now, that guy's gone on. He's got his medical. He's now a practicing physician. He's just amazing. I mean, he was one of those so purposeful people that everything, every basketball practice, every class he took, and, you know, the guy was really an all-around person, and he was fun to get to know. And there's been a number of them over the years.
It would be really fun, actually, to put together, I don't know if it would be a show or a series or something on, you know, people who are so memorable in Hawaii's history, not just for, you know, being the top scorers or the best athletes, but just for kind of an all-round person, because sometimes those people aren't as recognized, right? Because they might not necessarily be the person that scores the most, but they are the person that holds the team together or encourages everybody.
Well, and I don't, the people who are just driven, another one of fairly recent vintage, she still coaches at UH, Angelica Ljungqvist, came here from Sweden, four-time All-American. Uh-huh. I mean, played beach volleyball in Europe professionally. I mean, she's now the main assistant of Robin Amoa on the indoor team, women's Wahine volleyball, and she's also now taken on the mantle of the coaching the beach. She went in Sweden while she was playing there, got her law degree. I mean, she is like a Renaissance woman,
mm-hmm.
and really a nice and fun person too. She'd be a great, if you had a volleyball player in your family, you'd want them to play for her.
That's so cool. I feel very inadequate now after, but I started the conversation, so it's really my fault.
Well, I think it was all good. I think it was an interesting thing to talk about.
So if anyone's been living under a rock and they don't know what's coming up with volleyball, the schedule is that the tournament actually starts today, right?
It starts today, but Hawaii, because they're the top seed, has a bye into tomorrow's semifinals. So they just will watch tonight to see who their opponent's going to be tomorrow night.
Okay, and then they play tomorrow.
Play tomorrow night. If they win, they're in the championship game on Saturday night.
And then the travel begins.
They will go to Columbus, Ohio, where they will be playing in the national championship, which features seven teams. So Hawaii will either be a bye team. Two teams get byes. If they win this tournament, they'll for sure get a bye in the first round. If they don't win, they'd be an at-large team and might have to play the first weekend. But they're going to be there. They're going to be there, even if they lost somehow in the Saturday night championship round. They'll still be going to the Nationals.
Well, it's very exciting. It's been a while since there was a flurry of national championship talks. So.
Yeah, and I think this one's really, it's really legit. I'd say this, you don't know for sure what the outcome will be.
Of course.
But I know they have done everything a team could do to be here, to be in this position.
It's very, very cool. And of course, it sort of eclipses anything else that might be happening over the weekend, but
National championships are hard to come by, so when a team is in the hunt for that, and I've always felt that about teams, whether it's the water polo. I mean, whenever a Hawaii team is in that sort of hunt, I think you kind of get focused on it.
Yeah, because you know that it's taken so much to get there. And we should always remind everybody that, in our opinion, the best place to hear, to find out what's going on with these games is, of course, to listen to ESPN Honolulu, because we'll have coverage of everything,
no doubt.
And it's really exciting to hear from the passionate sportscasters about, you know, each moment of what's happening. So it's very exciting. It's good. I'm pretty excited about our show today, because we are going to be talking to, in just a wee while, we're going to be talking to Chuck Wakeman. He's the owner of Butcher and Bird. Butcher and Bird is a real butcher shop, a real one, which for a very long time we thought would not be possible in Hawaii. There seemed to be so many restrictions and so many things making it not possible for the people who tried to open a butcher shop. But thankfully, all of those days have passed, and he's been open for a couple of years now in Kaka'ako. He's great. I'm really looking forward to talking to him, because he is really passionate about what he does. He really knows what he's doing. He's the kind of butcher that, you know, people like somebody like Anthony Bourdain, for example, would have gone to see Chuck Wakeman if he was visiting Hawaii, right? He's that kind of authentic, very cool, knows what he's doing, passionate guy. So I'm really looking forward to talking to him in a wee bit. And then, and if you haven't been to Butcher and Bird, oh boy, you're in for just such a treat. We're going to tell you how to get there and their website and how you can order. And the nice thing about Chuck and his team is that when you walk into the store, Bobby, they're at work all day long. So they're aging steaks and they're cutting meat and they're making sausages. So it's a very, it's not interactive because you don't get to do it. But you
you're
stand,
not talking. Are they talking to you while they're doing
Chuck is the complete butcher. Like when I was growing up, you had your local butcher and your local fishmonger, and they were your guys that you bought everything from, and they would do everything for you. They would tell you, you know, you'd go in like on a Saturday morning and say, oh, we'd like something nice for Sunday lunch, and they'd say, well, the lamb from, you know, Aviemore is really great today. Let's try that. They cut it up for you. They tell you how to cook it, and he's like that.
Butcher, I will just tell you, there are two butchers in my town that I grew up in. Neither of them, they were monosyllabic.
Is that right?
Just the facts, ma'am. You just got the answer. And neither of them was I entirely comfortable with them wielding a cleaver. I mean, they were that kind.
We had wonderful, I remember clearly, big, you know, hale and hearty butchers in their striped blue aprons. And it was a real trip to go and, you know, talk to them every week. And they knew you and they knew who your parents were.
I went to the one with you.
In Kinghorn.
Yes.
To this day.
I might have gone to one in Anstruther first.
Oh, yes.
I think, and that was they were both interesting. They still wear the blue and white stripe thing.
They still do. Well, butchery is such an art and such a highly regarded profession in Scotland that one of the places close to my home is in Fife, as you know, in Scotland. And the butcher there, whose name is Lisa Thompson, she's a master butcher. She's unbelievable. And as you have known by going in and seeing, you know, the incredible
array
of food.
I like her a lot, by the way.
She's great.
She's a great
personality, too. All right, so that's coming up. And we're going to talk to Bob McGee of Pono Pork. And I can't wait to check in with Bob because we haven't talked to him since the sort of mid to later days of 2020 when we were still in lockdown. And he was peddling furiously to get CSA boxes out to everyone. So stay with us for that. We're going to go and take a really short break. We will be right back. You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus.
You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus on ESPN Honolulu, 92.7 FM and 1420 AM.
Hey, welcome back to Radio Mojo Plus. I'm Jo McGarry Plus, Bobby Curran. We're here to bring you the very best of eating, drinking, and living in Hawaii. I'm sorry to say we don't have very much drinking today, but it's a very meat-centric show. So maybe next week what we'll do is have a show that's all about lots of amazing things to drink with your incredible dry-aged steaks. I'm really excited because we are going to talk to the owner of Butcher and Bird. Chuck Wakeman is joining us this morning. Hiya, Chuck. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm really good. You're in your shop right now, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I hope you don't get too many customers coming in and bothering you while we're talking, but thank you for taking the time with us. Chuck, your store is, it makes me very happy to see it because it just reminds me of what I would call a real butcher shop. When I grew up, we were just saying that, you know, the butcher was so much a part of the community. Every Saturday you would go down and get your meat for the week, and it was the butcher who was kind of guiding you into what was good and what cuts worked. Where did you start your career on this path to become that kind of butcher?
Yeah, so I started my career in Chicago back in 2000. I'd just gotten out of the military and was kind of looking for work, and I answered an ad in the classifieds back when ads were in the classifieds and not online, I guess. But it sounded like an interesting job to me, and it's funny, like all those things that you just mentioned is all the things I love about this job is, you know, the interaction, the customer service, the connections with people, you know, it's really that neighborhood feel.
It really is, and I think you have done an extraordinary job of not just bringing particularly local meats to the forefront, but of showing people how to cook them. And I think one of the issues in the very early days with local meat was people were not familiar with that taste of grass-fed beef or aged local beef. And I remember thinking, wow, we need somebody to explain to people this is different from the kind of meat you've been picking up at Costco or wherever. Do you find that educating people in your shop is a big part of what you do?
Absolutely. That was, you know, at least the first year to, you know, and continually, it's a big part is education. And it's, you know, also finding out what people are looking for and filling their needs. Like, you know, a lot of our products have shifted more towards something like American Wagyu and, you know, some USDA Prime. It's for me, being successful is about finding the things that everybody else didn't have and connecting people with that product.
Now, if people go to your website, they're going to, I think, first of all, be absolutely delighted that you just have so much on offer. I'm not quite sure where to start because there's so many things we could talk about. Because most of what you do literally from scratch. Let's talk about dry aging, first of all. Let's give us a sort of sense of your passion about dry aging meat and why you can unequivocally recommend to people that if they take home dry aged beef from you, they are really going to enjoy it.
Yeah, so dry aging does a few things to the beef. For one, you lose about 15 to 20% of the weight of a large piece of meat, which we call a primal. So you lose all that water weight, which concentrates flavor. It gives a chance for any kind of rigor that was left in the muscles to relax, so it helps with tenderness. And then there's just flavors that develop from the enzymes that are naturally in the meat. So what happens is it's just more concentrated flavor, more tender, and the beef actually sears a lot better as well, too. So when the piece of meat hits either a hot pan or hot grill, instead of for the first couple of minutes that water evaporating out and kind of steaming, it starts to caramelize right away, so you get like a really great, you know, crusty, flavorful steak.
What is the optimum dry aging time, do you think?
In my opinion, it's right around 30 days, 40 max. I've had steaks that were aged up to 180 days plus. And for me, it just reads different. It's not better or worse, in my opinion. But when somebody comes to a butcher shop and they want to buy a steak, that sweet spot that people are looking for, where you get that juicy, you know, tender, beefy steak, is right around 30 or 40 days.
Do you find that once people have ordered the dry-aged steaks from you, it's almost like one of those things that it's like when you have a great Cabernet, it's really hard to drink anything that matches up to it because you have that taste in your memory bank. Do you find that once people try it, it's like, okay, they're coming back, that's what they're buying?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, once people got a taste for the dry-aged, that's a huge part of our sales. And, yeah, it is. It's tough to come back from that, you know. It kind of ruins people for life, which is great.
I love that. Now, you do so much there, Chuck. I mean, what shall we talk about next? How about making sausages? There's such an art to making sausages, as anyone who has bought some commercially made sausages will realize, because a true sausage is not something bursting with fat and filler. It's really something quite beautiful. Can you tell us a wee bit about the process of making sausages and why the kind of the kneading and the blending and letting the meat do its own thing is really important?
Yeah, so sausages, it's similar to making bread. So when you mix dough, you create glutens that bind and you know, gives the bread structure. With meat, the protein is called myosin, and it's all about how you mix the ground pork and the seasoning. So if you overmix it, it's going to be kind of rubbery. If you don't mix it well enough, all the fat's going to render out. It's going to be kind of pebbly. So it's years of practice and, you know, just watching how the meat's behaving in the mixing bowl and temperature control. And it really is a science and an art as well.
What's the point at which you, like when I'm making pasta, I know the point at which the dough is ready to become a sheet of lasagna or a noodle, and it's taken me forever. What's the point with a sausage where you just go, okay, that's it, no more kneading, it's done?
So I could watch the paddle in the mixer move through the meat, and I could watch kind of like the path it's cutting through there and how things are kind of starting to stick together. And sometimes you have to add a little water in there and you have to mess with it, but it's just watching kind of how it all kind of smears together. It's tough to explain. It's just one of those things that you have to, it's like with pasta dough. You just got to get a feel for it. You know, you sprinkle a little flour or sprinkle a little oil and you get it just right.
But isn't that truly one of the joys of it, right? Is the years and years and years that you have put in to your craft where you can just look at something and go, okay, that one's ready. That one's a little bit, you know, got a few more days to go. That to me, that's sort of the joy of it, yeah?
Yeah, for sure. And it also gives me the confidence that it's going to keep me ahead of the game. You know, we used to do sausage baking classes here, which will continue eventually, but my wife said, oh, man, you think you should be giving away all these secrets? I said, I can tell you how to make sausage and show you, but it's going to take years to be good at it where you're going to produce it consistently.
One of the things that's kind of funny, I just want to just Bobby, by the way, I just wanted to jump in on this. You know, the expression is sort of part of the American lexicon. People say, no one wants to see how the sausage is made. I mean, how many times have I heard that expression? Actually, it sounds fascinating.
Well,
I would like
to
see how the sausage is made.
Yeah, I mean, Oscar Mayer might do it a little bit different than me, but that one you might want to avoid. They say, well, it's like law and sausage, things we like to have around but don't want to see made, you know, so...
Exactly.
But if you watch me make it, it's not that gross of a process.
Right.
It's an art. We're talking with Chuck Wakeman. He's the owner of Butcher and Bird. You can find so much information on his beautiful website, butcherandbirdhawaii.com. That's HI.com. And along with the menu, the deli menu, and the butchered meats menu, you will really get an insight into Chuck and his team and what they do. Now, let's talk a wee bit about the deli, because, you know, you are a butcher. You are in there every single day, you know, making everything and dry aging meats and making sausages. But you have a really fantastic deli. And, Bobby, get this. Chuck makes a burger that has been voted one of the best burgers in Honolulu. And when you hear how he makes it, there is no question why. Talk us through a little bit about the deli, Chuck, would you?
Yeah, so with the regards to the burger, one of the very first lessons I was taught as an apprentice, my mentor told me to grab a half a pound of ground beef out of the case, and he told me, put a little salt and pepper and throw it in the microwave for 30 seconds, right? And pulls it out, he said, taste that. What's that taste like? I said, well, it tastes like beef. He said, yeah. He's like, when you use really great beef and you use, you know, great fat and prime stuff, it's going to taste beefy. You go to the, you know, Safeway or something like that, it's not going to be that same flavor. And then the way we really bump it up to the next level is we take all the trimming from our dry age stuff and we mix that in as well. So it's just a really great beefy, flavorful burger.
I can't talk about burgers without talking about bacon on a burger. I think I'm not alone in thinking that bacon makes everything in life better, and I know that you guys are experts too in smoking and adding bacon and deli meats to the deli.
Yeah, so we cure our own bacon in house and smoke it. We also do you know, baby back ribs and brisket and pulled pork. We cure our own hams, bake our own pastrami. So a lot of the deli meats that you're getting on your sandwiches are actually made in house, and the flavor difference on them is amazing. You know, when something's seasoned and cooked and put in a bag and maybe shipped, you know, over 2 to 3 week period, and it's already been sitting around and you open it up and you slice it, the flavor is not going to be nearly as great or intense as something that was made a day or two before in the shop right before you get to put it on your sandwich.
It's so awesome. Are you having fun? It sounds like you really are one of the people in life who's found what your passion is and who enjoys it every day.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, every day it's fun. I mean, of course, there's days that are challenging and everything, but, you know, to be honest, I'm having a blast.
You can tell that too when you talk to you and when you listen to you. And for anyone who hasn't gone, honestly, Bobby, the Butcher and Bird, the shop itself, You could just stand in there for such a long time and just look and observe and watch. Not so many people standing around since COVID, of course, Chuck, but people are coming back into stores. Are you getting busier in-house? Can people just come along? Like, if they want to come along today, it's okay just to come into the store? There's no further restrictions than in a normal store?
Yeah, that's right. So, we've definitely noticed an increase in people coming through over the last month or so. I mean, we never closed because we were essential. We kind of turned the shop into like a little neighborhood grocery store to help us get through. I didn't want to have to close down, and I've got people that depend on us, you know, and their families. So we were lucky enough to stay essential. But yeah, we're open. You can come in anytime. We have counter seating, so you know, you can come in and grab something and sit outside and have a sandwich. We're on the second floor. You can kind of observe everything down here at Salt. So it's a nice experience.
It's a really fun...
Let's go.
Well, of course. I know you're just going to absolutely love it. Can I tell people about your knife sharpening services, or should we keep that a secret in case you get too busy?
No, we can tell them about it. So that was one of those things that I wanted to get myself a knife sharpener. And so I figured I could pay for it if I charge people $5 a knife, no matter what size. And it's been definitely paid for and then some. So, yeah, you know, whatever size knife you want to bring down and get sharpened, we just charge $5 a knife. It usually takes maybe a day or two, depending on how busy we are, to turn it around.
And I see, again, this to me is like you are just in the class of ultimate neighborhood essential person, right? Because, again, when I was growing up, there was always somebody who was able to grind your knife. So you didn't have to be at home and kind of be embarrassed about your, you know, whichever thing that you bought from Amazon that isn't really sharpening your knives well. I have a question, though, about knife sharpening. Because it's not something that's easy for a lot of people to do at home because they don't know the right techniques, a lot of people have really rubbish knives at home. They've got, like, you know, beautiful knives that have just gone to seed. I think that some people might be a bit embarrassed about bringing in their knives to you and saying, this is what I've been using. I'm sure you get that, right? I'm sure you get people coming in with like a bag going, okay, do what you can, but they look terrible.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I mean, don't be embarrassed about bringing a knife in. Somebody else has already brought in a worse one, trust me. Like some of it's like looks like somebody is chewing on it. There's like chunks out of the blade and, you know, they're beat up. But I mean, that's why we have a service to help fix that up for you.
I love that you do that. And to me, it just sort of reinforces the fact that you are aware of your community, you're part of your community, and the community, I know, is supporting you. It's been such a pleasure to talk to you. I could talk to you way more, but of course we have time constraints, and then you have to get back to work. But Chuck, thank you so much. We're going to tell people throughout the rest of the show how they can find you on Coral Street at Salt at Kaka'ako. They can follow you on Instagram at Butcher and Bird, or go to your website, butcherandbirdhawaii.com, where you can order and find out more about Chuck and his team and their amazing services. Thank you so much for talking to
us. Thanks, Chuck.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Take care. Chuck Wakeman, the owner of Butcher and Bird, find them at butcherandbirdhawaii.com.
I'm serious. I want us to go there soon.
Well, I mean, I've been, but I'll be happy to take you. It's really fantastic. You'll love it. And then when we go to a break,
you can actually have a sandwich there.
Yes, you can. And when we go to a break, I'm going to show you the deli menu. And when we come back from the break, you are going to be just anxious to go immediately because
I'm going to buy a couple of dry aged steaks for us at home to cook at home, and I want to try either the burger or one of those. I mean, homemade pastrami. I'm down.
Well, you won't even be able to choose because they've got the most incredible house-made bratwurst. They've got, you know, USDA prime beef burgers. They've got this bacon double cheese prime beef burger, Italian sausages. I mean, he's just fabulous, and I love what he's been doing, and I love the fact that, you know, what I really, really like about some of the artisanal guys that we speak with is they're doing what they're doing regardless. You know, they are passionate, they're putting together their store, and it's no mean feat to get a store open in Honolulu and to set up
this one?
And to pay for it and to pay your rent every month. It's really difficult, but they're doing it regardless, and the fact that we have a community who is now so well educated and able to support these stores, I just absolutely love. So there you go. You can tell I'm a big fan, right? All right, let's go to a break or we'll be in trouble. You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus.
This is Radio Mojo Plus on ESPN Honolulu.
Hey, welcome back to Radio Mojo Plus. I'm Jo McGarry, plus Bobby Curran, here to bring you the best of eating, drinking, and living in Hawaii. And if you want to know more about what we do and our work with restaurants, or if you want to open a restaurant, or if you want to buy a restaurant, then you can go to our website, mojomcgarry.com. And I think if you go there, to our surprise, we may have everything all in one site this morning. We may have our podcasts, we may have articles, we may have everything all in one site. We've been working on it for a couple of weeks, and I think it's all come together thanks to Titus, who's been helping me with that, Titus Young. So that's really cool. So go and check that out. And then, of course, if you missed any of that interview with Chuck, then you will be able to hear that, download it from the website. But actually, you can get Radio Mojo Plus from any of the places that you find your favorite podcasts. And we do hope that we are one of them. So I did say it was a very meat-centric program this morning, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we thought it was really a long time since we checked in with Bob McGee, who is the owner of Pono Pork. And I really have been thinking a lot about Bob and how he has fared since the madness of the initial lockdown. So I'm happy to say that we've got him with us this morning. Hi, Bob. How are you?
Joe, hi. Hello, aloha. It's good to hear from you.
It's good to hear your voice. You know, I was remembering the last time we spoke, you know, the CSA boxes were just going crazy. You were introducing some new products. Tell us how things have been since the end of second lockdown and where you are today with Pono Pork.
So it's going great. It's, you know, the key word has been pivot, right? So we have just been trying to be flexible, semper gumby, always flexible. And it's helped us a lot. But it has, we've really had to play into the minutia of every last bit of every last animal. And, you know, for local livestock, local meats, that's one of the biggest struggles. It's a very countable number of the, you know, if it's not, you know, beef aside from beef, if it's pigs, if it's goats, if it's lambs, it's a very countable number of how many heads you have. So, you know, just kind of trying to be as efficient as we can with those numbers.
Bob, that's something that's always been really important to you. I mean, right from the beginning, you wanted to make people aware that every single cut of meat, particularly from the pig, had value and should be used. And I know that wasting nothing is really important to you. How are we doing in Hawaii as your customers with getting used to ordering all these, you know, really awesome parts of the pig that, you know, people aren't always traditionally used to eating?
So, you know, that's an awesome question, and thank you. And, yeah, it is important. It's mostly important, I guess, you know, selfishly from a business standpoint. You don't hear that a lot, I guess, but, I mean, it's important because, you know what, we go broke not selling bones. So that is true. You know, the skin, the bones, the heads, the everything that everybody doesn't, maybe we don't think we want, and maybe we've enjoyed it in the past but haven't even known. Yeah, that minutia is the difference between a business success and longevity. So I always like that. And the answer is astounding during COVID, for sure. It's been amazing. I don't want to say what people have tried to eat because it's not like that, really. I don't think of it that way, but that people are definitely going deep into the animal for off cuts. The value is there for them. So that's great, right?
And it's not just the value, right? I mean, some of the off cuts give you some of the most interesting parts, like offal, for example, to work with.
Oh,
I mean,
sure.
You know, coming from a land where haggis is our national dish, I'm a real fan of offcuts.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think to me, haggis is one of the most interesting things I ever eat, because when you describe it to someone and you say, oh, it's the entrails, you know, the sort of stomach and the lungs and the heart cooked up
all
in a sheep's in a sheep's stomach.
With some
people
grains.
Are like, right. People are like, no wonder you people are weird. But truthfully, it is fabulous. And I think it's a sort of empowering dish, actually, because it's so full of, like, iron, and it just is amazing. Do you find that once you show people how to use the product, once you give them a recipe, it's so much easier for them to say, yeah, we want more of that?
Yeah, I definitely think that's true. I definitely think, yeah, the more you can relate people to, yeah, sure, a certain part, you know, pig's feet. You know, there's so many different cultures in Hawaii that embrace so many of these, especially on a textural level, you know, whether it be because it's fatty, because it's squeaky, because it has that tendony kind of texture. People embrace that, and if you teach them how to cook it, the other thing I found is sometimes it's best not to teach them anything because they know more than you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
I mean,
for sure.
I think that I learn a lot more from, especially from my home cooks, even more than my chefs, about how something gets prepared, because they got years and years and years and years of mothers and fathers who cooked it for them. So I learn a lot from them, and not teaching them is some, you know, probably some of my wisest moves. It's just stand back and listen.
Here's a smart guy.
You know, you teach, I can tell you different, you know, ways to do something, but if I screw up one of them, you're going to tell me. So,
right. Well, you're right, too, especially with cultures like in Filipino culture, for example, just like in Scottish culture. I mean, we really enjoy using, you know, the offal and, you know, different parts of an animal that, you know, are really quite delicious. But you do, of course, sell the entire animal, and now introducing different things, too, like goat, for example. Before we move on to the products and how people can get them, I wanted to just focus for a little bit on your farming. I mean, the pigs are born and raised in Waianae. They are beautifully farmed. I mean, anybody who thinks that, you know, pig farming is kind of a dirty business, I think hasn't really seen a properly run farm. Can you just give us a little bit of insight into these animals and how they're cared for?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's funny because we talk about that as a farm that is dirty or it's, you know, clean or how that works. And to be honest, the most important thing that I would want anybody to know, whoever, you know, who doesn't come to the farm, wants to know more about the park, is that we kind of center everything around the idea that the soil is actually the most important thing, and that living biome within that soil itself, the living organisms, the living bacteria, are absolutely everything from the ground up to us. So, in actuality, if you go to our farm, our pigs will be darn dirty, but they also will never be sick. So that's,
yeah,
you know, that's the
odds. Yeah,
well,
it's really the way I think people really have such an interest now in humane farming, and are so aware that what our animals eat and how they're treated is as important as what we eat and how we're treated. Bob, we're just kind of losing you. You're kind of a little bit in and out. So I'm going to ask you this next question. And if the reception still isn't that great, we're going to go to a break and call you back. But hopefully you'll be
Got
good.
It.
So let's talk about the boxes and what people can buy, and how you are incorporating different products now into the Pono Port boxes.
Okay, so fundamentally, the boxes are built your home box.
Bob, you know what? I'm gonna go for a short break. We're gonna call you back and try and get you on a better line, because I do want people to hear what you have to say, and I don't want you to be dipping out. So, Tanner, we're gonna go and take a really short break. Stay with us, everyone. We're gonna call Bob back, And hopefully we'll have him in a great cell area and you can hear the rest of what he has to say. Stay with us. You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus.
You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus on ESPN Honolulu, 92.7 FM and 1420 AM.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. I'm Joe McGarry. This is Radio Mojo Plus. We do this every Thursday morning. And if you miss any parts or you need to hop off and get out of your car or wherever you're listening, then you can pick up our podcast wherever you get your favorite podcasts or go to our website at mojomcgarry.com. We're talking with Bob McGee, who's the owner of Pono Pork. You can find all of the provisions at ponopork.com, or you can follow Bob and his team on Instagram at Pono Pork. And we went for a break because we do want to hear what he has to say, and we're kind of losing him. So welcome back, Bob. Thanks for being patient with us.
So sorry about that.
No, it's good. All right. Let's hope this is good. So we can go to pornoport.com. You have a lot of different products now in addition to pork and the KL lamb and Maui Nui. Talk us through just some of the things that people can order this weekend or next week.
Okay. Right on. So the main thing is that right now I would say that more than ever we are super, super pork heavy. And I'm kind of trying to, as the other farms try to catch up, basically, you know, we've got a lot of venison and they're waiting for their next restock. And the same thing with lamb and goat. So right now we're super heavy on the pork. And one of the main things we're doing is adding a lot of value. We're making a lot of sausages. We're smoking a lot of meat. So we're doing a lot of, like, the slab bacon, the bacon ends, the smoked hams, kiabe smoked hams, kiabe smoked jowls, as much smoked product as we can. We need to add as much value to those local bacon. So that's the main things you can get. You get plenty of fresh cuts, lots of smoked meats as well.
Lots of good smoked meats. And the easy thing about Pono Pork is we can go to your website, ponopork.com, and order boxes that either can be picked up, you now have a couple of different locations which we'll tell people about, or will be delivered to your homes. Tell us, please, where your pickup locations are now.
Okay, so we have two wonderful, wonderful partners in the community that we work with, Kalapawai Cafe, the whole team. But we do the Kalapawai drop-off in Kapolei. So that's one pickup every Saturday between noon and 4. And then we do another one over in Kailua at Lanikai Brewing with Steve over at Lanikai Brewing. They're so awesome to us. And that one is between 11 and 5. And you can get a great pizza over there with sausage that I make for the Valentina at her pizza shop and get great beer. That's our drop-offs on Saturday. You just have to get your order in by 5 o'clock on Friday, and then we have everything ready for you for Saturday.
5 o'clock on Friday, that's great. You guys offer a great service, and it's really personal, too, to either be able to pick up or to have someone deliver to your home is really, I think, one of the great things that did come out of the lockdown during the pandemic was the fact that we all turned to local products and had these CSA boxes increase at such a great rate. Is there anything for this weekend? You know, sometimes it's fun to give people a tip of, oh, you should grab this or try this weekend. What would you say would be great for people to order this week at Pono Pork?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. I guess one of the main things is because we're trying to, one of the main things we're trying to do is really press the idea that there needs to be a great big old USDA kitchen that processes a lot of smoked products for us. That being the case, I would say go online, go to the bottom of all the fresh pork and look for anything that the fresh Italian sausages that I'm making, the bacons, the hams, any of that product I smoked it this week. It's fantastic.
Wow, that's so cool. Bob, it's so good to talk to you. I'm going to encourage everyone to go and check out ponoport.com and to get their orders in for local products for this weekend. And I look forward to catching up with you soon. Thank you so much for your hard work, and thank you for treating those animals so well. We appreciate it.
Joe, thanks so much for making time for us. We super appreciate it.
You're so welcome. Bob McGee, he's the owner of Pono Pork. You can find out more about their humane treatment of animals, their sustainable farming, on their website at ponopork.com. And, of course, you can go ahead and order boxes or just a la carte items. I mean, for example, he's got this week, you know, everything from pork stew meat to spare ribs to chops. And then, as he was saying, all the sausages that he's making himself, and then a lot of different smoked meats. There's always different things there. They even have pasta now on this website, locally handmade pasta. So a lot of good stuff there at ponopork.com. Well, I did warn you it was going to be a very meat-centric show this morning, and I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Bob. Apologies for the little bit for the quality of that. It's always difficult when, you know, we have cell phones and remote locations, but hopefully you got everything that he was saying. And then with Chuck Wakeman, who joined us from his Butcher and Bird butcher shop and deli in Kaka'ako at the Salt Project. If you haven't been to visit Chuck, I'm highly recommending that you do. And it's kind of like, you know, make an outing of it, you know, make a thing of it. It's not like just running in, you know, to Safeway or Whole Foods or something. It really is the opportunity to go in and talk to a butcher and ask him questions and find out, you know, how did he make that incredible house-made bratwurst? And, you know, what is the secret to dry aging some incredible meats? And he'll tell you. As he's working, he'll chat with you. And him and his team are really there to – they are the neighborhood's butchers. I mean, it's something that you heard me say earlier, that something I grew up with. I'm really, really happy to have the same thing here. So thanks to Chuck, thanks to Bob McGee, and thanks to you for listening and hanging in with us this morning. I'm Jo McGarry. We'll see you next time on Radio Mojo Plus.
Radio Mojo Plus on ESPN Honolulu was brought to you by Pieology Pizzeria and by Southern Glazier's Wines and Spirits, proud supporters of the food and beverage industry in Hawaii.